As we continue to meditate upon the injustice done to our Lord Jesus, let's pray. Righteous Father, we adore you that you do not tolerate sin, that you hate injustice and bloodshed, that your eyes are too pure than to even look on evil. We confess that we have often done wrong and failed to do what we should have done, that we've not treated people fairly, but have discriminated and shown favoritism, that we have murdered people in our hearts and thought too highly of self. Please forgive us, not because we have anything to plead by way of excuse, but because you are faithful and just and have judged Jesus in our place. Forgive us and cleanse us from all our sins. Thank you that one day you will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus, the man you have appointed. And thank you for giving proof of this by raising him from the dead. Thank you too that when you do, you will fully and finally cleanse this world of all sin, all injustice, all bloodshed, and will bring about a world of feasting joy. And so, Father, this Easter time, we ask that you give us a spirit that loves what is right, so that we may shine brightly, holding out this hope to a dark and dying world. For the sake of your name, amen. Our reading is from Mark chapter 15. You'll find that in your service booklets. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they're accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to get Pilate to release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Human history records many injustices, but the trial and condemnation of Jesus the King is surely the greatest injustice in the whole of human history. It's something which, as we contemplate it, should appall us as well as cause us to marvel. Jesus had taught his disciples, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is our King. And as we look at this trial before Pilate, we begin to see all of what that meant. Just as Jesus had been tried before the Jews later the previous night, and they declared him guilty and worthy of death, so the Jews had taken him and made their plans, verse 1, to do away with him. So he was bound like an animal and led away to the slaughter. And of course, the religious charge of blasphemy wouldn't hold much weight with Pilate, so they had to change it and politicize it. This is the one who claims to be the king of the Jews, Pilate. You know, he could cause trouble for you. I wonder what Caesar would think if he got to hear of all of this. And what we see is that Jesus is then accused and tried and condemned. And in all of these, we see the injustice done to Jesus. But we also see the nature of his kingship. We see that he is the king who serves, the king who is innocent, and the king who gives his life as a ransom for many. So let's begin with the accusation, and we see here our servant king. It's highly ironic that Jesus, well, the thing he refused to be was a political messiah. And that's the very thing that he's accused of here. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You've said so," Jesus replied. It's a pretty coy answer. It's yes and it's no. No, I'm not the king who's going to lead this uprising. Yes, I am the king who has come to lay down my life in service. And it is a sovereign service that he is performing. You see, they bound him, they led him away, they handed him over. But Jesus was in charge of it all. He had predicted it all with amazing precision back in chapter 10, verse 33. He says, "We're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise." Make no mistake, the one who serves us is the sovereign one, the sovereign king. But also his serving of us is a submission. It's a submissive service. Do you notice how passive the verbs are here? He is bound. He is led away. He is handed over. He makes no reply to them multiple accusations. But he is submitted ultimately to the will of his Father, led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he didn't open his mouth. Marvel at him. This is our God, the servant king. Just think how you responded last time you were accused of something. Maybe there was some truth in that accusation against you. Jesus is our submissive servant king, and he is also our innocent king, and we see this very clearly in his trial. First of all, his trial before the Jews. Mark tells us three times that Jesus is innocent. So he says they were looking for evidence but couldn't find any. This is in chapter 14. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements didn't agree. They gave false testimony, but even then their testimony didn't agree. And we see his innocence again in the three questions that Pilate asks him. Question 1, verse 9. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Mark gives us Pilate's rationale here. He knew that the priests handed Jesus over from self-interest and envy, not because the charge against him held any water. Question 2, verse 12. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" A second time, Pilate lobbies for Jesus' release. And question 3, verse 14. Responding to the people's cry to crucify him, Pilate reveals his hand. Why? What crime has he committed? It's extraordinary, isn't it? The accusation is that he's leading a rebellion among the people. Well, then why would they call for him to be crucified if he was their leader? He's innocent. Pilate knows the deal. Pilate knows that he's innocent. Pilate knows that he's committed no crime. So our servant king is also the innocent king. And that is critical so that he can be our ransoming king, which we see in the sentence given to him in verse 15. And there are two ironies here. The first one is a tragic irony. The second one is a wonderful irony. The first tragic irony is that Jesus is the only innocent one here. Notice the priests are guilty. They're not seeking justice, are they? They're self-interested. They're stirring up the crowds so that Barabbas is released instead of Jesus. So the priests are guilty, but so are the people. Having been manipulated by the priests, they call for the release of Barabbas, but not only do they call for that, they call for Christ to be crucified. And so when Pilate says, why, what crime has he committed? Well, they don't go, actually, that's a really good point. What crime has he committed? No, they shout all the louder, crucify him. So the priests, the people, and Pilate himself is guilty, verse 15. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them and handed over Jesus to be crucified. In the end, the governor is governed by the crowd, and Pilate is complicit in the greatest injustice in human history. This first irony is a great tragedy. Priests, people, and Pilate are all guilty. And Jesus, he's the only innocent one. But there is a second irony here, and it is a wonderful irony and familiar to many of us, I know. You see, when Barabbas was released, Jesus was condemned. Barabbas means son of a father. The son of a father was released. The son of the father was condemned. A guilty murderer, free. An innocent Messiah, bound and handed over to a cross. Barabbas released, the king crucified. And what we see here is, of course, a human miscarriage of justice. But we also see divine justice at work. We're all like Barabbas, guilty rebels, worthy of condemnation. But our servant king, our innocent king, came not to be served, but to serve and to die to pay the price for guilty rebels. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If this is your king, marvel at him afresh today. Marvel. We know by now not to plead innocent. We know to be appalled at our own guilt and complicity. But marvel that this King Jesus went through this injustice so that we could be freed. Because even if our conscience condemns us, we know that if he is our king, he never will. Let's take a moment or two just to reflect.